night's entertainment.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are indeed tonight's entertainment. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, of course, presented by the AMP Radio Network. Follow us at Another MMA Cast on the Twitterverse. Tonight, I am lucky enough to be joined once again by friend of the show, at Danny Austin underscore nine. And of course, you know Danny from this show. If you don't know Danny from this show, please go back into the archives and check him out, because Danny is very, very gracious with his time and has blessed us with his time very, very often. And of course, Danny Austin, of course, is a writer for the Calgary Sun and the Calgary Herald. Let's bring him in right now. Danny, how are you doing this evening?
Man, I'm sitting in the sun in a parking lot in suburban Anaheim, California. It's been some sort of week here, and I think we're all kind of ready for these fights. So it's been a weird week. It's been often a lot of fun. There have been a couple of real low moments, but it's good to be talking to you. I'll tell you that.
And of course, I neglected to tell the audience that you are our man on the streets. You, of course, are coming to us live from and direct from Anaheim, California, for the site of UFC 214. Yes, Danny, if anybody has been following you on Twitter, sorry, Danny, there's a little bit of wind noise there. I apologize. And if anybody's been if anybody is following you on Twitter, they've known that you have had a very, very hard time this week. Of course, not only trying to get your stories out for the Eastern time zone, but also you guys had a little bit of hard times happen. Do you want to go into that and explain to us what happened to you this week at the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, I'll talk about it quickly. It should be noted that of the three people who kind of, basically before I go, I mean, I'll just say, like, three of us had a lot of equipment, probably about $8,000 of equipment stolen. I had a laptop that I work for Post Media, which is obviously the biggest newspaper company in Canada. It was a company laptop. I was very fortunate. My company responded very quickly. FedExed me a new laptop, as well as allowed me to use my company card to buy a personal laptop that I'll be paying them back for. But effectively, you know, we busy street in LA, beautiful neighborhood. I live in Calgary. I don't really think that often that someone's going to break into my car. So myself and I was with Jim Wells, Jim Edwards, who was sitting next to me. He didn't get anything stolen, luckily, but Matt Wells and Jose Youngs, I know Matt Wells is a friend of the show. Jose is one of the best dudes around, and they stole all of their camera equipment, laptops, and then they stole my laptop. So it, as you can imagine, that's stuff that, you know, we require to do our jobs, and maybe we were a little bit naive leaving in the car. It's just out of my realm of experience having people steal all my stuff. So it really sucks. And I don't know if I certainly don't need any help, because my company has been so gracious to help me out. But I mean, I do think that there are people starting a Kickstarter for those two. They're good guys, good reporters, and they lost their ability to do their livelihoods this week. So it's that was certainly difficult professionally, but also, you know, emotionally, you feel a little bit violated when that sort of stuff happens. So that's a full story.
Yeah, and that's super unfortunate, because like you said, I mean, the guys lost all their ability to do their jobs this week. I mean, we all know that some fringe MMA reporters just don't have that, you know, the backing like you do, Danny. And something like that happening to them is very detrimental. And of course, any help that we can give, and anybody who's interested in donating to that Kickstarter fund, please do. I'm sure Danny or Matt Wells has that up on their Twitter, and you can go ahead and contribute to that if you'd like.
I just want to be very, very clear that I don't actually know the details of that. If it does happen, none of that money would be going towards me. I work for a big company. It was paid for. So I do want to be clear that I'm only kind of giving it a shout out, not asking for charity for myself, but, for two friends and guys I respect. So, keep an eye out for it. But again, it's not for me.
Yeah, of course. As I was trying to get across, I mean, you guys, as I've mentioned on this show, when I stayed with when I stayed in Buffalo for 2-10, I noticed all the hard work that James Lynch was putting in, and I know how hard you guys have to work and how much you guys need your, you know, your laptop or your cell phone or your camera gear, whatever it is that you're bringing. So I did see it firsthand, and if anybody can lend a hand, of course, like Danny said, it's not for him, but for his boys, you know, hardworking guys that are on the beat, please do try and help. Anyways, let's kind of shift gears, because I know that you've got Jim Edwards there beside you, a good English boy. And of course, as we saw from his Twitter account, the California weather isn't treating him very well either. He's he's got a nice burn on half of his head there. How's that looking today?
Honestly, Jim looks good, man. He's got maybe a little bit of a burn, but nothing too serious. Jim looks good, and he's been putting in good work this week. He took a little shit from some, you know, there's some real jerks on Twitter. I'm not going to get into it, but, like, you know what? No one knows who was in line at press conferences. Ariel did this thing, Ariel Helwani, about how he didn't get a question at the press conference, and all these people got mad at Jim because he asked two. And it was like, what the hell, man? Like, Jim didn't know Ariel was trying to ask a question. It's has nothing to do with him. And I'll also say Ariel's been good. There was a whole thing going around on Twitter how the UFC would not give him a microphone to ask questions. That didn't happen. Ariel just requested – he requested a little too late. There was a lineup of people, and the time ran out. So – you know, Ariel's been good about being clear about that. But, geez, guys, like, some people on Twitter got to figure it out. I'll say that. Like, who the hell are you, man? Like, just going after good people doing their jobs, you know, making up narratives about this and that. Half that shit's not happening. So, sorry. I could go on a long rant. I got my shit stolen this week.
That's all right. As we know, it's been a tough week for you. And, of course, you're missing Doug Flutie back in Calgary right now, so I feel your pain.
I know. I like, as everyone knows, I also cover the Calgary Stampeders, the CFL team. That is a lot of work and the major part of my job. And I'm going to say, you know, if I sound like I'm in a bad mood, there's no – I wish that I could have been there this week to cover all the stuff. It's the 25th anniversary of one of the greatest CFL teams of all time in Calgary. But, man, it's nice to be covering some fights. And I was saying to the guys as we left the – the ceremonial weigh-ins today that I kind of had an emotional moment there because for all of us, but, you know, for me particularly, the first big fight that I was involved in covering really was Jones Cormier. So to finally be here and to feel like the saga is kind of finally coming to an end, it feels like kind of the end of an era in my professional life. So it's a neat feeling. I'm so glad that I am here. And, you know, I might not have given up a laptop to do it, but it didn't ruin my week because it's still a pretty awesome card we got here, and it's cool to be a part of.
As long as you didn't have any sensitive information on that laptop, right, Danny, it's all good. Okay, so
there may be things I'm worried about, but sorry, carry on. It's a work laptop. There's nothing too serious on there. That's all I'm saying.
All right. That's good. So let's transition. You made the perfect transition there for me for UFC 214. That's what we're here to talk about today. Of course, as I mentioned at the top of the show, you are live and direct from Anaheim. What's the feel on the streets? Because I saw in the open workouts, you know, a lot of people turned out for that. How's the feel on the streets? Because SoCal turns out for the MMA.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that's been weird is they did the press conference on Wednesday in L.A. and then open workouts where they were out in Orange County, but they were not in Anaheim. And then today the stuff was in Anaheim proper. So it certainly is not that feeling that you get for a Vegas fight week where everything is very centered around the MGM Grand. And then, I mean, T-Mobile, which is basically across the street. So it's been hard, to be honest, on the ground to get a read of what the excitement is. And you combine that with the fact that Dana is, you know, up on stage today wearing a T-shirt promoting this atrocity of a boxing match on August 26th. And it feels like the UFC put together the best card of the year. It has, not to steal from Helwani here, but in my opinion, the number one and number two pound-for-pound fighters in the world. Fighting atop of it after a long rivalry. This is a fight we're all excited about. And weirdly, it feels like they're not promoting it all that much. And, you know, maybe it may even be that I'm too close to it to see that. But because stuff has been all over the place, I haven't felt as, you know, just as completely caught up in everything. And, like, you hit a point during fight week often, especially in Vegas, where it feels like there's nothing else going on in the world. You can't even look beyond the scope of this, of the magnitude of the fight that's ahead of you. And to be honest, I haven't felt. I think that that's sort of the logistics of how they tried to organize things. In my opinion, that press conference should have been out in Orange County, because Orange County has turned up. But really, down at the Staples Center, right, the crowd wasn't that great for the press conference. So, yeah. I think I said about 30 different things there, yeah, but I think you get my point.
Yeah, no, that's cool. We want to get the live and direct response to what's been going on the street. And from my point of view, you know, I find it's just very hard for the UFC to promote things, especially even the number one fight of the year, in my opinion, just because there's so many events going on, and that just seems to be, you know, coming true in what we're seeing, because they just don't have enough time to promote these things. I mean, it is the biggest rivalry that I can remember to date in the UFC. And it's just, I don't know if it's getting enough play, like you said, but here's one question that I had for you, because go ahead, please comment.
I was going to say, like, I mean, you know, you and I had messaged earlier in the week. I was doing a radio hit with TSN, and they had actually been meaning to talk about the Stampeders, but then realized I was down here to talk about this. And one of the guys, and I mean, you know, no fault of his own, he's not the biggest MMA guy, but he said, he was like, you know, I heard that they were calling John Jones the best pound-for-pound fighter of all time. Is this just getting out of hand, the stuff that they say to promote a fight? And as for what you're saying, where there's just too many fights, it's hard to, like, differentiate the good from the great. That's kind of how it felt. It was just like, well, no, this guy probably is the best pound for pound guy of all time. We got a guy walking up just right now, like, you know, but when you say that over and over again about every fight, like, hey, this is the greatest fight I've ever seen, it can get ugly. Sorry, one second here.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Danny is live and direct on the streets of Anaheim, California. So you're bound to run into a few hooligans, or maybe, you know, some MMA fans that want a picture or something like that. But when Danny can get back, we'll get him to come back and comment. But one thing that I wanted to talk about on this particular show with Danny is a situation with Daniel Cormier. And I'm just going to put Danny on mute real quick while he's dealing with the wind and the person that walked up to them. One thing that I was very concerned with, and I had a gentleman on Twitter come at me today because I was talking to Chasm about the weigh-ins. And of course, as you all know, if you listen to this show, I'm very concerned about weigh-ins, and I'm very concerned about, you know, the cutting of weight. And Danny and I have talked about this before. One thing that was on our minds, especially, you know, Sunday through Wednesday when we did the show, is Daniel Cormier and whether or not he was going to make the weight. And I just wanted to talk to Danny. Danny, are you back from whatever trouble?
I am back.
There?
I'm sorry. I had a
hooligan.
A character, a hooligan walk up to us just as we were talking there. So
yes,
had to.
Absolutely.
Had to step away. I apologize.
That's all right.
But
all
yeah,
right.
I can
if
definitely
you need
talk
to do a judo chop.
Yeah.
If you ever need to get in there and do that judo chop, you just let me know. Judo chop.
We're good, brother. We're good.
Okay, we're good.
We're just going to walk into the hotel and avoid any confrontations. No big deal. But, yeah, we can talk about Cormier's weight stuff.
Sure, please do. What were your
feelings? Yeah, I mean, I think that it was a concern. It was a concern, and I think we're in California, so it naturally is a point of conversation, and that's just kind of what it is. And I mean, I think that John Jones made a point of, you know, bringing it up again and again, which probably amplified what you're saying a little bit. But, you know, in the end of the day, he showed up. He weighed in at 205. He was the first guy to make the weigh-in today. And, you know, at the end of the day, if he made weight, he made weight, and I didn't see any problem there. So it was a concern, and weight cutting is always going to be a concern. But when it goes well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, no, that's true. And the gentleman who came at me today on Twitter, as I was saying earlier, while you were dealing with the hooligan, he was coming at me because I said that Daniel had to use the towel again. And I mean, as we've talked about on this show before, Danny, it's just a major concern of mine. You know, a guy who's coming down who probably should be fighting in heavyweight, let's be honest, coming down to fight at 205, I did get away with not actually holding on to the towel today, as John Jones said. You know, Daniel Cormier is the 206.2 world champion. I thought that was kind of funny. Or was it yesterday? Sorry, not today. I thought that was kind of funny that he did say that, and it's true. I mean, Daniel did have a bit of trouble at 210 trying to make that weight, and I do believe that he did cheat, as we have discussed before on this show, to kind of flub it, and he did get away with it, and that's fine. But he did need the towel today, and that's fine as well. And I wonder, Danny, did he seem to you, because on the I'm seeing it through a computer, right? So when you were there live, did he seem very sucked out? Did he seem very, like he was having a bad time with it? Because it seemed to me like he was having a bad time with it. And of course, no weight cut is ever easy, right?
No, and I mean, I don't think Daniel Cormier can do this cut to 205 pounds for the rest of his life. I mean, he's
right.
Almost 40. These weight cuts, I imagine it's more cumulative than anything. I bet you that if he was 24 with his body type, with all of that, and where he hasn't done a whole lifetime of cutting weight, both for wrestling and for fighting, I don't think it would be that huge an issue. Unfortunately, he has, and we're in California where he can't put on more than, 10% of what he weighed in at. So he has to go into 225, and I think that could have a huge impact. I would recommend that everyone who is, trying to explore these issues with weight cutting, go make sure you follow Mark Raimondi, and make sure that you follow the writing he's doing, because he's a California-based writer. There's really nowhere that has made more of a push to reform weight cutting regulations than California, and it's an ongoing process. But weight cutting is, other than head trauma, which is always going to be a massive issue. I mean, weight cutting is probably the biggest issue that confronts, the sport we love. Even if the Cormier, I mean, I'm not as concerned about Cormier as you are, if I'm being totally honest. I think that for bigger guys, it probably isn't quite as damaging as for smaller guys who are, trying to cut that extra 10 pounds. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, anytime that people want to talk about it, they are right to want to talk about it, because it's a, very serious issue. And something has to be done. I know I talked to Aljamain Sterling, and Aljamain Sterling said that guys the weigh-ins need to be the day of the fight, because, there's too much risk for guys to cut that weight and then, be dehydrated on fight day. So they'll automatically cut less. The point that Raimondi made when I was talking to him about that was, all it takes is one guy to screw up and he'll probably die in the octagon. So I don't know what the solution is, but you're damn straight that it's a huge issue.
Yeah. And let me just ask you, since you have boots on the ground, what is the overall feel of what California is doing with this card? Because I've mentioned it many times on our shows that I'm, not only concerned, but very impressed with what California is doing. So as you mentioned with Aljamain, have any of the fighters expressed to you any concern with what's happening in California right now, or what's the feedback?
So with the caveat that it has not been the focus of my reporting, no. I did speak to a couple of fighters. I talked to a couple of coaches, and fighter safety matters to fighters. And, think that they're really grateful that California has put in these new rules where they, weigh you a month before, all of this. Like, I mean, every sport in the world, if the athletes would do whatever they could to get an advantage, but we do things to protect the athletes. You take away their freedom to make decisions that are going to be harmful to them in the end. And that's what needs to happen in the sport. And I mean, in general, my impression has been, but people are grateful that there's a commission that's willing to stand up to the UFC a little bit and say, no, this is how we do it.
Yeah.
And B is really investigating fighter safety issues and being proactive about them. I think it's great, and I think that that's I think that my opinion is representative of the opinion of the people on the ground here who are, you know, more directly involved in the fighting.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think what California is doing, and like you just said, a proactive commission that is seems to be more interested in the fighters than making money, is a very, very good thing in the sport, and we need that moving forward. Again, to, like you just said, speak up against the UFC, and it's great to see somebody finally doing it. Okay, so let me ask you one real quickly before we move on to Tonya Evinger, because I want to get into her real quick. Is there any story that you are spotlighting right now that we need to know about? Is it Damian Maia versus Tyron Woodley? You know, anything. What are you seeing as you're on the ground that you are focused on?
I mean, it's been really, really hard for me, just given my timeline. I've kind of covered this for 4 or 5 years to really look past the main event, just because I do think it's such an amazing fight. And I'm just and I'm disappointed. I will say, I mean, like, ultimately, if you're asking straight up, yeah, of course, like everyone else, the Lawler-Cerrone fight. You know, both guys know what the expectations of the fans are. Both guys seem a little bit, you know, even if Robbie Lawler won't say it, you know, they seem, you know, okay with the fact that everyone expects them to just go out and put on a massive fight, and they're excited about it. And Cerrone in particular just seems giddy and, you know, so respectful of Robbie Lawler and, you know, genuinely just excited to get to fight one of the old school bangers. So, you know, that fight is obviously the one that I'm most excited about outside of the main event. But this is another one of those weird cards where they put together a great card, you know, top to bottom, in my opinion. And I still am completely focused on, you know, the two best fighters in the world, in my opinion, facing off with so much on the line for both.
No, absolutely. I mean, the story is definitely Jones-Cormier, but I have seen that Lawler seems less than interested. And I thought, as you mentioned earlier, Mark Raimondi was mentioning that he was doing a bit of a piece on Lawler, you know, mentioning that he was very concerned about, you know, Matt Hughes not being in his corner because of course, Matt Hughes was in a very serious train to pickup truck accident. And Lawler was actually planned on visiting Hughes, but of course the fight got pushed back a month or a couple of weeks. And I don't know. Lawler just seems very, very disinterested. And I don't know if that's just, you know, Lawler has seemed disinterested in the past. And of course we had seen him come out of that, but he seems to have returned to his old form. Is that coming across to you as well?
Yes, but like there's a level of it where he almost seems like he's playing the character this time around. Like there's almost a smile behind some of it. Like he knows that he's no longer the champion. He doesn't have the obligation. He doesn't have to do it. And he's enjoying being grumpy Robbie Lawler. Like, I don't know. If you ask me to like specify what I was talking about, like when he walked in on the weigh-ins, he was like, he almost looked like he was Robbie Lawler acting like Robbie Lawler, you know, like he was aggressively disinterested when he walked on stage today. And that's kind of the feeling that I got. So I don't know. I mean, I agree with you, but I wasn't angry at him for doing it. It felt appropriate. And, you know, Cerrone was over there. And I mean, Cerrone, I don't like interviewing Cerrone during fight week. I find him to be sort of grumpy, and I think the weight cuts get to him. And he was the best I've ever dealt with him today. So, you know, okay, if Cerrone wants to carry the weight for Lawler, I'm sure Lawler's okay with that.
Yeah, and of course there's a lot of fights ahead of them that will push the fight. Okay, so quickly, I want to ask you about Volkan Ozdemir before, again, we get into Tonya Evinger versus Jimmy Manoa. We had a lot of problems figuring this fight out, and is Volkan Ozdemir for real?
I mean, he can prove it against Jimmy Manoa. I still think that Misha Cirkunov fought a stupid fight there. You know, that fight is, it's a huge win for Volkan, but like, I blame that loss on Cirkunov more than I give it to him. So, we're going to find out if he's the real deal. The true answer is that, you know, none of us can answer that. And that's the great thing about this sport. That's, you know, that's a lazy answer for me a little bit. There's no reason to doubt that he's the real deal. I mean, I also, like, I mean, I think Jimmy Manuwa is the real deal. I also, if John Jones wins and they don't do Alexander Gustafsson, who I think is a far more deserving contender and is a far better fighter, I'll be furious because I don't think Jimmy Manuwa is that good. I don't think he's like, he knocked out Corey Anderson. That's great, but it's Corey Anderson. So, I mean, this is a, you know, this is a good opportunity for Volkan to go and prove that he is for real. But I mean, the short answer, what am I going to say? I don't know. I don't think Misha Serkinov, I don't think I've ever seen him make mistakes the way he did just rushing at him. I don't think we'll ever see Misha do that again. So, yeah, I don't know, but take everything else I said and make me look smart.
Okay. So, no, I agree with you 100%. This is a proving ground for Volkan for sure. Okay, so let's get into the Cyborg versus Evinger fight. And I did come at you earlier on this week with a question, and I don't know if you got the answer at all, but I was wondering about Tony Evinger's contract in this particular fight, whether or not, you know, she has more than one fight, or if it's this fight and a rematch, or if she's guaranteed to have, you know, three or four fights in the UFC, because as we've mentioned on this show, we are all very, very glad to see Tonya Evinger get into the UFC, even though she had to go up to 45s and she had to fight maybe the best women's MMA fighter of all time. Do you have any information on that contract situation? And what do you think about Evinger being in the UFC?
I think it's about damn time Evinger is in the UFC. I think she's one of the cooler personalities, you know, in the sport. She's very much herself. She's obviously openly gay, and, you know, isn't quiet about that. And I think that's really great for, you know, I think it's always great for the sport to have, you know, diversity of representation and all that. So I'm a big fan of hers, and I also like the way she fights. Did I get a straight answer? No. My impression is that she will be in the UFC for more than one fight. I mean, obviously, if she wins, they have a plan for her. She has to rematch Cyborg. But there were other answers that she gave that suggested to me that she has signed a multi-fight contract.
Well, that's cool, because I would like to see her win, lose, or draw, get another fight in the UFC and be able to make her mark, because, you know, as we discussed on Sunday when we had her on the show, she's been in this sport for a very long time. She hasn't lost since 2011. And for some reason, the UFC either didn't think that she was marketable enough or just had a problem with her. And of course, it's good to see her in the UFC. Whether or not you agree with her fighting style or not, whether you think she has a chance against Cyborg, it's just good to see her there. And I think that I'm not there with her personally on the ground, but I think she's held her ground very well. And she's, you know, big upped Invicta and, you know, called this a super fight. And I agree with her, right? Right, Danny, do you agree with her as well that this is a super fight, champ against champ?
Absolutely. Of course it is. Yeah, 100%. I love that she said it. It was something that, you know, one of the guys sitting next to me was like, I hadn't even thought of that. It is, isn't it? And it is, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all in. I love her personality. I love that she is herself. She's been a little bit more toned down than I expected her to be, but I think that that's her kind of, you know, having to find her feet a little bit in the UFC machine. There's nothing like it in the rest of MMA. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you can't pick against Cyborg, right? I think any of us would say the same thing. Like, yeah, Cyborg is the favorite going into this fight and will probably beat her. But, you know, you step in and you fight Cyborg in your first UFC fight, and you damn well better get another fight.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Okay, Danny, we agreed on a half an hour, and we are at a half an hour, so I'm going to go ahead and let you go because I know that you have to get to the MMA Journalists Association meeting, and of course, I will be online listening to that particular broadcast, so I wish you well, and say hello again to Jim for us, and thank you very much for giving us some time. I know you've had a very stressful week, and I appreciate it.
Oh, man, it's always my pleasure. I love doing this. I apologize again to the listeners and to you for the ne'er-do-well who walked up on us there, but either way, it's been a great time, and I love chatting with you.
You know, what we say on this show sometimes, Danny, is sometimes life gets in the way. And before I let you go, I'm very looking forward to seeing you in Toronto in the next 2 weeks. So we'll have to talk offline and work something out so we can get together, brother.
You bet. Hit me up, man. We'll talk soon. Cheers.
Okay. Thank you, Danny. Have a good night. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our boy, Danny Austin, coming at us live and direct from Anaheim, California. Fight of UFC 214. And I promised him half an hour. And as I mentioned, we all got to get to the MMA Journalists Association meeting. So we're going to get to that. And I thank you all very much for tuning in. It's always really great to get Danny Austin on the line. And, of course, Jim Edwards was there. We didn't get a chance to talk to Jim. And Danny said, you know, maybe I could put Jim on the line. But we had advertised Danny Austin, and I wanted to just talk to Danny and get his view. Perhaps we can get Jim on at a later date, or because we love Jim, and Jim's been on the show, and we've interviewed him, and if you want to go back in the archives, I encourage you to do that. Jim Edwards, he's a really good, interesting guy, and of course, we kind of pumped him a bit on that phone call, on that episode of the show, so go back and look for that one. So again, guys, thank you very much for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at Another MMA Cast. You can follow DJ Tony at I'm DJ Tony. You can follow Marco from Waco, Texas at Maldo Marco. Follow Pam from North Carolina at Pandora Box. And of course, you can follow me at Proteus at Proadios. And please follow me on there, because tomorrow, Saturday, for UFC 214, I have some great plans. I'm doing a little junkie gathering. Myself and Josh from Tiltenberg, we're going to get together finally and do a little junkie gathering in celebration of the Junkie Boys having their 25,000 show. I don't know how you say it, but they've been doing a lot of shows. They got a lot of shows going in their books, and we're gonna get together, and we're gonna, you know, have a few drinks and watch the fights. And I'm planning on doing a little bit of a drunk cast, as I like to call it, or as Scribius Pip likes to call it on the Distraction Pieces podcast. Yeah, 2500. Thank you, Tony. It's always good when your boys are there to help you out via text message when your brain just doesn't want to work. Thank you, Tony. Anyway, I digress. We're going to do something. The boys are a little shy, as most MMA junkies are. They don't really like to get on the radio or get on the podcast. Anyway, it's cool, man. Everybody's their own person. But I'm going to try and do some kind of live event, whether it be on Blog Talk Radio or simulcast on Facebook Live or on Periscope. Actually, I plan on doing both of those. Maybe we'll get into Blog Talk Radio and do a quick show. I know that Pam has said she might want to get on the line with me while she's having a celebration as well. You know, it's going to be a drunk cast. It's not going to be proper. It's not going to be prim. We might all be drinking, and it might get a little out of control. So just be aware and caution to the wind. Anyways, I'm going to get out of here. I love you all. I thank you all for listening very, very much. We appreciate you all. Have yourselves a great night. And just like that,
I'm the boss.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Good night.